Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
What's up, everyone? We're back. Nothing Major Mondays. On this episode, we're going to recap Indian Wells. We've got Gossip Corner again, and we're going to talk about Jack Draper's big breakout week in Indian Wells. Let's go. All right, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing Major. Sam Querrey. We got Steve Johnson, Jack Sock, our executive producer, Charlie Fox, a team at SIFT. As you guys can see, no John Isner today. He wouldn't tell us where he is. He's doing something really cool. And honestly, that is all we know. Maybe he will share with us next week. But for today, he is not on this episode. So it's really not a big loss. It's we can go without him. So anyway, big weekend, especially for Jack and I. We pickleball tournament together. Then we're in Miami for a day. A lot of airline trips. I got a big pet peeve of mine last night. I'm flying home. I have a window seat. Lady comes down the aisle, sits in the middle seat, takes both armrests. Like, I was livid. If you're in the middle seat, you deserve no armrest. Absolutely no armrest. I did all the work. I'm the frequent flyer. I went on early. I booked the seat. If you got an aisle or window, middle seat, fold your wings in and do not take an armrest. I was freaking livid for 5 hours.
Disagree completely.
Yeah, completely disagree with you on that. It's first come, first serve. Like, you have to be on the ball. If you are, like, if your arms are on the armrest, it's yours, right? If you move it for a second and she snags it, it's hers. Like, first come, first serve. Like, there's no, I disagree with you wholeheartedly on that because they deserve an armrest as well. But if you keep your arm there for the 5 hours you're on the plane, no problem. It's yours. But if you move it, it's fair game. You know, that's how I feel.
I also think if when you break it down at the end of the day, if you have the middle seat, you're in the worst spot on the plane. Everybody agrees with that. There's nothing worse than a middle seat. And in the window, you're already more comfortable than they are. You already have your designated armrest on your left for the window. The least that they can do is get a little bit of love on like the little armrest in the middle just to make their flight somewhat more enjoyable. You're already in a better spot.
I've done the work though. I've gone on early, checked in early, got my good seat.
Maybe they can't afford to like get on there early and get like a better seat or have the status. Maybe they're, you never know what their situation is. The least you can do is give them a little armrest in the middle.
I've sat middle before. I'm no exception in the middle. I fold it in and take my punishment. Like, you do not deserve anything. No armrest if you're in the middle.
See, I disagree with you on that.
I'm still angry about it.
I can see that. I can feel the anger coming through the screen right now. But Jack and I think, I'm sure actually John would probably back you up on this. If you move your arm, you're out. But if you can secure your arm there for the entirety of whatever, 5 hours.
She fell asleep and like,
I mean, just let her, you don't know what kind of day she's had. Maybe it's been a hard day. You know, let her fall asleep on your shoulder. Be that guy. Be a good comforting, you know, just open your heart up to the world, Sam.
Get off my armrest. Anyway, let's go on. Indian Wells. What a week for Jack Draper. Now I'm not going to say out of nowhere. I think he was seeded 13. We certainly didn't have him in the winner's circle. I'm going to start with Stevie. How impressed were you with Jack Draper during that Indian Wells run? And especially how he played in the finals, 2-2 over Holger Rune.
Yeah, it's super impressive. He is extremely talented. His tennis and his competitive nature is extremely high. We've noticed that for the last couple of years. He's just dealt with a lot of injuries where he hasn't sustained, a good 3, 5, 7 months or an entire season kind of injury-free. We saw that last summer a bit before his run to the U.S. Open. But ultimately, I think this comes down to him being a bit upset with how your hottie draw kind of broke down in the end. I mean, he took 3 out of the 6 guys down in the draw on his way to a title. So that was a chip on his shoulder. But ultimately, he is a fantastic tennis player. Top 10 was never in doubt. I felt like we just didn't know when, but really an impressive run. And like we talked about last week or a couple weeks ago in the preview, there was 20 to 30 guys that probably could have won this event. And, he was one of them, and which is weird to see in this day and age of tennis compared to what we were used to.
Jack, do you think it gives him more confidence that on the way to winning it, he beat Fonseca, Brooksby, Fritz, Shelton, Alcaraz, Rune, like young guys in their prime that are going to be his competition for the next like 8 years?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think he seems like a guy that was probably already confident prior to this tournament. And I feel like probably in his head, he thinks he can beat pretty much anybody out there on tour at any time. And I think a week like he just had and the run he just had beating the players he did only probably solidifies that in his mind. And then going forward, I think now that he's proved that to himself and to everybody else on tour, I think he's going to be a threat now every week, obviously playing. And he's always had like a massive game. He's always been, I feel like a tough out when like Stevie said, when things are clicking and he's in like full flight and full force, he's going to always be a tough out. But I think now hopefully that kind of propels him and kind of launches him into like a, again, like Stevie said, more consistent results going forward and being able to do it more week in and week out instead of just kind of here and there, I guess. But yeah, insane week for sure.
I need him to put together like a couple more good weeks before I'm like, all right, this guy's a slam contender and he's going to like win slam. No?
No, I'm with you. But I'm just saying like, look at his schedule this year. Like he's pulled out. He didn't play early in the year, just started in Australia, got hurt in the round of 16 to Alcaraz, then doesn't play till Doha, makes a final, pulls out of Dubai. I mean, he's played 3 tournaments this year and, 3 really good results. So when he does play, he's damn good.
What's he doing well right now? What's he doing better this year compared to last year?
I mean, his consistency from point in and point out, his serve is incredible. I mean, we've watched that time and time again, how he served and took down Fritz and these guys. You still saw a couple moments where he was nervous in closing out matches, but luckily he had a 2-break lead against Fritz and then against Alcaraz as well, I believe. So he's still got some tweaks to make in this game, but overall, he's a great competitor, and his tennis is finally catching up with that nature, which is very important to have.
He's only played 3 tournaments this year?
Yeah, he's played 3 tournaments this year. The schedule is light, but hard to argue that the results, like, seems like him and his team maybe know what's best for his body physically, and when he is healthy, like, he is extremely dangerous, as we can see.
Yeah, hopefully he back. I feel like Roger, Rafa, and Novak, they would always back up like Masters Series titles with just like another Masters Series title. No one has done that yet. Even like Alcaraz and Sinner, like honestly, aren't quite at that level. So I'll be curious to see how Draper does in Miami. Like, does he follow this up with like a quarter or better?
I was going to say, do you think, anything short of quarters, I feel like is probably a disappointment after.
I know.
Yeah, but like, I mean,
yeah. If you want to be compared with those like top guys.
Yeah.
But I mean, if we're talking about that as well, like John would probably say it wouldn't be a back-to-back title because there's like 10 days off in between.
Yeah.
So, it's like tomato, right?
Isn't there probably things Indian Wells title for Draper was like a whatever, like a winning a 250 since he thinks Miami is so much better than Indian Wells?
We should have done a list of like our top 5 things that John Isner does while he's not here. Maybe at the end of the episode. We'll all come up with our 3 biggest pet peeves of John Isner.
Sure. Talk faster.
Right? Yeah. No more. Instead of random player of the week and trivia, it's going to be we're going to rip John Isner for like 1 minute. All right. On the woman's side, Andreeva, like just on a run. She won Dubai and now Indian Wells. Stevie, is she the best player in women's tennis right now? Take the ranking aside, is she the best player in women's tennis?
Yeah, in the last month, hard to argue that. I mean, she's won two massive titles. She's 17 years old, and then she takes down Swiatek and Sabalenka, number one and two in the world, back-to-back. Like, that is tricky to do, to back up a win like that with another win, especially in another big final. So, I mean, it's crazy, like, to think 17-year-old, you know, how composed she is, how good she is at tennis.
Have you seen the other 17-year-olds that have beaten the number one and number two players in the world?
It's a very strong list.
Steffi Graf and Serena Williams, probably the two greatest female players of all time. And youngest woman to win Indian Wells since 1999. She is on a tear. You see that little notebook she has? It was like in the win the other day. Jack, she's got this notebook and there's, you could see the names of all the players and it's like a whole page written out on all of them.
Oh, wow. Why do you think that I didn't see that?
I was talking about it and I didn't see a reaction from you and then...
Yeah, no, I didn't. Yeah, I don't think I watched one point of the...
You guys ever do like a notebook on tour?
I did as a junior. I did in junior tennis. I did.
I did for a while, but like day's end kind of thing. Kind of like a journal, how my day was. Never mid-match. I couldn't think that clearly, mid-match.
Why'd you stop it?
It felt like homework after a while. And then, you know, like, it's just like you get to that point. But I still have, I probably have like 10 or 15 journals like in the house somewhere. I can go back and look how I felt on like, you know, August 10th of like 2015 and see how the day went.
All right. Let's go here. Americans and Indian Wells. Men and women both had like 20, 25 people in them. In my opinion, the Americans had like an average showing at Indian Wells. I hate to like kind of talk negatively. It's not really negatively, but just kind of bash our friends, our men and women here. But on the men's side, quarterfinal. Shelton, the only guy to reach a quarterfinal. And that's with, you know, we got Fritz, we got Tiafoe, Pelika, Korda. Jack, little bit of a letdown, would you say, on the men's side?
Yeah, did you mention Tommy in there too?
Tommy, the guy
that I keep trying to hype him up for. I would definitely say a letdown. I mean, I feel like with the way American tennis is going and trending, and kind of the hype and the buzz around our friends that are out there playing still, I think was definitely looking for a better result from somebody, or at least a deeper run, maybe. So I would say overall disappointment. On the men's
and that's like
side
a, that's a
sure.
compliment to all these guys. They've set the bar
exactly.
So high, you know,
yeah. Like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we I feel like
in our era, one guy in the quarterfinals be like, guys, crushed it. Like, great communal effort.
absolutely. Like, so yeah, I would say overall disappointment. But I think I don't know. Maybe Miami could be a different story. Hopefully, we have somebody at least playing towards the end of the second week and weekend and competing for a title. So we can't, we got to get American tennis back on top.
Stevie, did the girls disappoint a little bit as well? We had a semifinalist in Keys, but Coco lost round of 16. Pegula lost round of 16. Emma Navarro round of 32.
Yeah, I mean, we have basically, I'm trying to look here, do some quick math in my head. 1, 2, 3, 6. And we have 9 girls in the top 32. So that is, you know, it's incredible to have. But when you are this good and... sometimes, you know, the success that you have prior, you know, raises your level of expectation, and rightfully so. You have a lot of girls in here that could have won the tournament and that just maybe just didn't have their week, their game, whatever it might be. But I mean, we have four ladies in the top 10. So you expect one of them to make a final. You know, Maddie was in the semis and just kind of either ran out of gas or just kind of ran into a buzzsaw that day. Losing to Sabalenka, it's just hard to see because you want them to do so well and you expect them to do well, especially when I'm watching it from my couch, right? Like I'm always going to root for the Americans. So, but yeah, a little bit disappointing on both sides of the men and women. But, you know, Miami is a new opportunity. That's the beauty of our sport sometimes is you get another chance, short-term memory, and get back out there and fire it up.
Yeah, I feel like takeaways from Indian Wells are kind of what we said on the men's side. It's open for 20 guys to win it. And honestly, like one of the 20 won it in Draper. We learned that Draper is really good at tennis now and maybe going to be top 10 for a long time. Andreeva is unreal and looks like she could be the greatest women's player in the history of tennis. Outside of Draper on the men's side.
That's not a hot take.
Anyone impress you guys outside of Draper? You're like, all right, like that guy played well. I could see him putting things together and maybe getting into the top 10 this year, or the answer is no, maybe.
I just feel as if there's so much uncertainty with the game. Like I haven't had to think about this style of, you know, ranking fluctuation in a long time, because for the longest period, we had basically 10 guys that were in the top 10, like consistently year in and year out. Like the World Tour Finals was the same 8 guys every year. It seemed like maybe one guy would change in and out. So it's great to see like the parity in the sport, but it's hard to predict right now, because I think everybody's level is so up and down, which is good for the sport, bad for the sport. I think we're going to get a lot of new winners, but it's just interesting to see, especially the way men's tennis has been the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah. Well, so speaking of that, I'm going to talk about our predictions at Indian Wells. Stevie, you did the best. You had Arthur Fies and Shelton in the quarters. Jack and John were kind of next best. You had like Tommy and Shelton in round of 16. I was terrible. Berrettini, they all lost like first, second round. But that goes to what Stevie's point. It's so hard to predict right now. So anyway, well, Stevie, first of all, congrats to you for doing the best with your predictions.
I feel like Fies would have gotten a little bit. He lost that tough one to Medvedev. I thought he could have snuck that one out, 6th in the third.
He had a great week, though. That was a great call. Like, I was going to put him as an impressor of the week. I mean,
those were the players we picked out of the side of the top 8. Overall winners, I actually did the best. I had Medvedev and Pagula. Collectively, I did better than all you guys.
So keep changing the stats until you get something that you win.
I thought Medvedev was going to win it. I felt good about Medvedev for a second, because I picked him out of nowhere. And he was in the semis playing Holger Rune. You're like, that's winnable.
The Holger Rune making finals is actually a little surprising, I would say. I don't know if that's a hot... Like, I feel like he's very up and down with his level at times. His ceiling's very high, and I feel like his floor can be kind of low at times.
He was 4 in the world a year and a half ago, and now, you know, he's kind of an afterthought, which is crazy, right? Like, not an afterthought, but just not somebody you'd think would compete for these titles with how he's played, I guess.
If he backs it up in Miami with, like, a quarter or better, like Draper, he's right back in the mix now of, like, top 6 guys kind of that could go deep in slams. Stevie got dead last in the ATP winner's pick. He picked Casper Ruud to win it, who lost second round, and Emma Navarre to win it, who lost third round. Two of the worst picks we've ever seen in the history of this pod.
Go back to your predictions. You were 0 for 4. You took 4 and went 0 for 4.
This is a week-by-week pod, and you had just terrible picks for winners.
That was 2 weeks ago. You should have brought it up 2 weeks ago. I don't get it.
Awful picks. Let's go to Gossip Corner. We got Gossip Corner again.
Ooh.
I know.
We're back to Gossip Corner. I love gossip. It.
This is going to be weekly, guys. Also, I don't know where I'm getting my gossip, so if anyone wants to send in gossip anonymously,
that's a good idea, actually.
DM the pod.
Make a fake account and send it in.
But DM Nothing Major. Don't put it on the comics. I want other people to see it, then take the gossip. It's got to be private gossip, then we'll share the gossip. I don't know if I'm going to verify it at all, but just if you guys want to share.
You can DM any of us personally as well and throw some gossip in there, and we'll bring it out.
True. Or on the website. Just so anyways. But anyway, this week, you guys see Bublik and Mute getting the fight in the Phoenix Challenger?
It was so good. I loved it.
Awesome. Yeah, it was awesome.
Who's winning that fight? I can't believe, what's Mute doing? Bublik's going to destroy him if they get in a fight, by the way.
I would think so. And his hair, the way his hair was, he looked like he was ready to go. He was like, yeah.
Can we just let these guys like go at it? Like, this is ridiculous. It looks worse that they're just like talking to each other. Like, let them walk to the locker room, solve their problems, and be done with it.
He offered it. Bublik says, let's go to the parking lot. Like, he's like,
did he say that?
Yeah.
He's going to get a very large fine for that.
He goes, do you want to go? And he's like, we can go to the parking lot right now. He goes, do you want to fight? And then Mutet like started laughing as if it was like, but I think Bublik was ready to like take the gloves off and go.
Yeah, it's smart for Mutet to walk away from that.
You never know, dude. He's probably like, he's got a couple screws loose. He could be just like a wild card.
You never know this day and age too. Who knows those like MMA stuff?
We had Bublik on. He was just training in like the hills of Switzerland, like, you know, fighting in his off season. He's not even working out. You never know. He's going Rocky style up there in the mountains.
Yeah. More gossip. Djokovic was at like a birthday party or something in Miami with Eva Longoria, Jessica Alba, Mark Anthony. Like, how does he get the invite? Does someone text him?
Dude, he's a global superstar. What do you mean?
Is Mark Anthony like, hey, Novak, we got a little birthday party?
Can you elaborate why you don't think he's invited to that?
Yeah, how do you think he doesn't get invited to that?
I'm not surprised he's invited. I want to know how it gets put together. Through agents? Do they actually know each other?
We can speculate on here. I think that would be good, yeah.
I think, too, at Indian Wells, because Draper, Runa, we didn't have a lot of big-time celebrities in the finals at Indian Wells. I feel like usually...
I was going to ask, how was the crowd for the finals?
It was good. It was packed, but not...
I feel like the buzz wasn't around it like it should have been or could have been.
I think they were hoping for an Alcaraz in there. I mean, no offense to those guys, right? Like, but he just Alcaraz is somebody who moves the needle right now in tennis in a big way every time he's out there.
It was literally only Kylie Jenner and Timothy Chalamet. Am I saying that right this time?
I do believe it. You a much better pronunciation that time than Chamolet.
Also, a little shout out to Tim Oliphant, our friend, actor. He actually texted me about an hour before this pod, mad that we didn't mention him last week as one of the celebrity sightings he used to go to Indian Wells. He actually, one year, like 2 days before the event, I was practicing with him.
Yeah, great tennis player.
I think I lost first round that year, but does hit the ball well. Yeah, good practice partner for everyone. What other gossip we got? Jannik Sinner, new agent that was announced today. He's leaving Wingstar or something. I'm just rambling. Star Wing.
Yeah.
And going, do you have it in front of you? What's the new agency? It's like a European agent, the new one. It's a new agent. It's like four letters. But that's some gossip there.
Interesting time to switch agencies after everything that's gone on. Just saying.
Yeah, I know, right? It is a little. Monica Seles at Indian Wells. Quick shout out. She looks pretty good for 51. Like, shout out Monica Seles. I saw her in those fancy seats with tournament ownership. That's gossip for this week. Light week. Again, I need anonymous tips. I don't know where I'm getting my gossip from. So
we got to get ears on the ground.
We need ears on the ground. If anyone wants an internship at Nothing Major, we don't have the funds. You'll have to pay for yourself, but you can go to every tournament. You can be our eyes and ears on the ground. Get the gossip. All right. One other thing. Feedback from last week. We kind of hinted on it. I got ripped for saying Timothy Chalamet. I guess there's an L in there. Chalamet? How do you say it?
How did you say it the first time? Because whatever you did the first time is completely wrong.
Chalamet.
I thought you said Chamlet.
I think Chalamet.
It's Chalamet. I was saying
not Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet, but I'm getting
ripped
for it.
I think you got the M and the L.
I don't know anything about French actors.
Yeah, but when you're starstruck like you were, it's hard to get it out. Like, I get it. It's tough.
Just call him Timothy. Little shout out, Phoenix Challenger, our boy, Joao Fonseca. I mean, you see what he's ranked out right now?
Yeah, 60.
60. He's going to be seeded at the U.S. Open.
You and John had that?
Yeah, we did have that. But, like, do you see who he beat? I mean, beat, like, good players, too. I think...
Nishikori down.
Oh, your boy.
Borges, Bublik. Like, these are good wins. And I feel like now... I know he got crushed by Draper in Indian Wells, which I think was at the time when I saw the score, I was like, oh man, that's a kind of a beatdown. But now it doesn't look that bad.
No, I think it's more impressive because he did have a bit of he's so young. He's still only 18. Like, have a junior moment. You know, he gets broken at 4-all in the first set, loses the first 6-4, 6-0, right? Like, and then so it goes quick, but impressive for him and his team, you know, whoever it works, to regroup, get back to work in Phoenix. And kind of, you know, right this, not that the ship was going in the wrong direction, but good to go out there and compete from first ball to last ball and not make those junior mistakes. Because we all played those young guys where you're like, okay, if I can tough out a first set, maybe early in the second, you know, this guy's going to go away, and which he did. But ultimately, he followed up this week in Phoenix and just absolutely crushed it. Incredible week. I mean, the sky's the limit for this kid. He is electric to watch.
Our wildcard Kukushkin got a win there too. You see that?
Just one win?
Yeah, he got one win, but that's
all right.
More than the hottie draw.
Yeah, good regroup for him. So congrats to him for just shaking off the early loss in the hottie draw to Berrettini and bouncing back with a W in Phoenix. Alex Kovacevic, American, won Punta Cana. Another big challenger. People maybe not know about it. That's like a massive win. He's now finaled in Montpellier and now won this challenger. So he's... pretty good start to the year for him. All right, let's go to Miami. I want from each of us right now your lock of the week. Who's a lock? I'm not saying to win it. Who's your lock to just make a good run? Like quarters or better. A lock for quarters or better.
Well, I'll take Alcaraz to make a quarter. I mean, he's got his side of the draw is a little bit weaker. Nakashima, you know, Dimitrov hasn't been healthy all year.
We're going to do Friday, by the way, for everyone. Full Miami preview show draw on Friday. So this is just a quick little lock of the week. We got an Alcaraz. Jack, you cannot pick Alcaraz now. You have to pick a new player.
Just to make the quarters, you know?
Just to make the quarters. It's a lock.
I want to pick TP because I like his draw, but I'm not going to.
You pick TP for everything.
I'm joking.
Stevie picks Nishikori for everything.
I just took Alcaraz.
You didn't want to. You wanted to take Nishikori. I know you did. I'm going to take Medvedev. Confidence is back.
Oh, yeah. After last week, yeah. I take the same guy every week.
I'm going to take Fritzy as a lock. I'm going to take Fritzy as a lock to make quarters.
That's a good pick, actually. He's been quiet lately.
The new haircut, I don't know. It's not good.
Yeah, I know. He's got the short hair now. He's been wearing some sleeveless stuff.
Wait, was that a real haircut? I thought that was from like a long... That was bad. This should actually be in Gossip Corner, but Fritzy's got to address that new hairstyle.
With the new hair, he's seed drops in the hot guy bracket for sure.
Oh, he was seeded... Six in the Hawkeye bracket with the new haircut. He
barely makes it in.
He's like a 14 seed. This needs to be addressed and addressed quickly before he plays a match in Miami. Any wild cards, dark horses in Miami we should look out for?
To make a quarter?
The draw looks eerily similar, I feel like, to Indian Wells. I must throw that out there. A lot of similar matchups, it looks like.
I'm saying no. Yeah, there's no dark horses for me, honestly. I have no dark horses.
How far do you think Zverev makes it this time around?
I think he figures it out. I think he's had like 2 weeks off to like get it together. Like quarters are better for him.
He's got freaking Paracard real early. Then to, yeah, Francis or Fee. Yeah, it's a tough little section.
All right. Nothing major NCAA March Madness bracket for the basketball fans here. You guys can compete against us. I think we're going to share our brackets and then you guys can battle us. I think we're maybe going to go like top three winners, get free merch, free hats that we've got like kind of in the making right now. Also, Friday show will be out. We're going to record it in a little bit here, but it's going to come out Friday. It's a Miami preview. It's going to be good, so stay tuned for that. Also, you can subscribe, leave comments, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcast, everything. You can go to our website, Nothing Major Show right now. Fill out your bracket on Nothing Major Show, and that's how we'll decide who does the best for those top three people. We will send you a hat. Top three winners, Nothing Major bracket for March Madness. You will get hats. All right, that's the show. We guys should also do. We've been teasing like what should we do to end the shows. You guys want to go right now? Top three most annoying things John Isner does to end the show. Do we have anything on top of our head?
On the show or just in real life?
In real life, what does something John Isner do that's pretty annoying?
His stupid band walks, dude. Like when he warms up every day, he's got like the band walks. I can't do it. He warms up, I feel like, every morning he gets up and he does band walks.
The Supermans and stuff that he does every morning. His pace of talking is sometimes. Is...
How about when we do the podcast, you guys can't see it, but sometimes when he like hosts segments or whatever, he'll go and be like, welcome back to nothing. I'm sorry, guys. Let me start that again. Takes him like three tries. It's so funny. He's a little OCD too, if I did one other little
I was going to say, yeah, like his
stubbornness.
You
ever stayed with him?
His tidiness and stubbornness. Sometimes.
It's nice. Oh. It's nice to a sense, but it can be a little much at times.
I can't put that on mine because I'm the same way. So like him and I get along very well on that.
Anyway, well, I don't know if he'll listen to that, but we could do more on Isner if you guys want that in another show. For those of you that fill out the March Madness bracket on Nothing Major Show, we talked about giving away hats. Scrapping that, winner of it, you get a hat, but you get to come on the podcast for like 2 minutes. And you get to ask each one of us a question. We'll talk tennis. So that is the new prize for the winner of the March Madness basketball tournament. And for our millions and millions of European fans, South American fans, Australian fans, if you just fill out the bracket, honestly, your chances of winning are the same as people that think they know basketball. So it is worth going out there and just picking random colleges to do well, because you honestly still have as good a chance as anyone from America. So go check it out.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.